Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Didn't it? It happened last week, didn't it? Weird. Does that make Steve Kerr soft?
Yeah. Does that make the team that he coaches soft and a bunch of complainers and whiners?
Listen,
that's what we heard a couple weeks ago.
We're just asking questions. We're just asking questions,
just
Draymond.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah, just putting it out there. It's not like we have photo evidence of you kicking guys in the nards or gouging out LeBron James's eyeballs or pulling Brandon Clark down by his jersey during a playoff game. It's not like we have any of those.
Or even more recently, grabbing one Zach Edey by the ankle.
Oh, yes, yes. Trying to hurt our big man Zach Edey, who may or may not be out me. He's not. But it is interesting. It's exciting. But tonight, I expect the Grizzlies to be able to take care of business. When you look at the last 10 games for each team, the Grizzlies are 8-2 in their last 10. The Warriors are 2-8. Like I said, they are trying to get back on track. The Schroeder thing is going to be an interesting thing because he does turn up against the Memphis Grizzlies. He is one of those guys that always seems to make every damn shot against them. It will be interesting to see if he has any back and forth with Taylor Jenkins. I really hope Ja Morant plays tonight. If Ja plays, I expect the Grizzlies to win this game, no problem. If he doesn't play, it's going to be tricky, and you're going to have to lean on a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr. But we have seen that Jaren can lead you to the promised land this year because he has been one of the best players in the NBA. And I want to remind people, All-Star voting open for the NBA right now. Vote in your NBA All-Stars on the Memphis Grizzlies. Yuki at the top of that list. We got to get Yuki in the All-Star game. We can do it.
Man.
If we band together, we can absolutely get Yuki to the All-Star game. But that's going to be it for the first hour of the Gabe Kuhn Show. When we come back, we are going to be joined by the great Jeff Calkins. You're listening to Connor Dunning on 929 FM ESPN. Stick around. Welcome back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 929 FM ESPN. I am Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn. I'm now joined by Jeff Calkins, columnist at the Daily Memphian and host of the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11 a.m. on these airwaves every weekday morning. You can find him on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. How are you?
I am good. I have to start with the Costco story for you. Michael Penix Jr. yesterday was in line buying a Costco dog when he got the call to be the starter for the Atlanta Falcons, but he decided to leave the dog behind because of his excitement. And I have to ask, is this good judgment or bad judgment? If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, are you worried that this is a red flag in decision-making for Michael Penix Jr.? Is it poor composure under pressure?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I honestly, is there a call? Let's presume, does he have the dog or is he still waiting for the dog?
It sounds like the dog had been ordered and he left it behind.
It takes, at Costco, sometimes like they have about eight people and they wait and they do eight dogs at once. But you're never waiting, once you've ordered the dog, you're never waiting for more than 2 minutes to get it. I can't imagine. I mean, if I got some emergency call, you know, my house was flooding or something, I might not then wait for the dog, right? If there's something they needed tending to. I can't imagine walking away from the dog. It can then be a celebratory dog.
Exactly.
If you've gotten the call that you're going to start. So It's funny. Jeffrey didn't believe the story. It sounded authentic. Who would make up I was at Costco waiting for a hot dog when I got the call? So I do believe the story. The only part that's weird is when he said, I was so excited, I left the hot dog behind. I found that to be odd. I don't think, honestly, it will have a huge bearing. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's going to have a huge bearing on his career or chances of being a successful quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. I was interested that he went with the dog rather than the pizza. You know, I like the Costco pizza so much. Like, I do like the dog, but 8 out of 10 times I get the pizza and not the dog. And then I so like the dog and the pizza both that I've never gotten the chicken bake, although it intrigues me. Have you ever had the chicken bake?
So I've never had the chicken bake myself, but I've heard bad things. And George, when he came in today, when we planned to ask you this question, because you are the resident food expert on this station.
That is, by the way, just total nonsense.
No, it is the truth.
I'm the guy who will eat hot dogs at a gas station happily, you know, with chili on it that's been sitting there for 12 hours. You have me confused with Jennifer Chandler, who writes about food for the Daily Memphian. I am not a food expert. I'm the guy who, this is true, once upon a time, this is right after I'd either gotten divorced or was getting divorced or something, and there was a sushi place in Cooper Young. I think it was called Doe Sushi. Are you familiar with that? Do you remember that? Anyway,
I do not remember Doe Sushi, no.
I went in there and I sat at the bar, and I ordered whatever, some sushi, and then the woman behind the bar said, would you like some edamame? And I said, I was at this point unfamiliar with edamame. I said, sure, because she was offering me some complimentary edamame, and who would turn that down, whatever it is. So she brings out these things that look like, you know, green beans in a shell, basically, and but kind of salty and crusty. And I immediately took one, and I just started crunching on it, like as if it were a peanut, right? I mean, not a peanut, because no, as if it were a shelled peanut, as if it were, what do you eat without, what, just popcorn, as if it were popcorn. I just took it and started crunching on it. And the woman, God bless her, said to me, she said, some people like to just take their teeth and, you know, pop out the little thing, the little things inside. I love the way she put it.
Some
she didn't
people.
Say, you're a moron.
Yeah.
What are you doing crunching on the edamame? You're supposed to use your teeth to pop out the little peas inside. She said, some people like to do it like that. Like, what I was doing was also acceptable, but some people prefer the other way. So I'm a complete food moron. But anyway, as you were saying before I interrupted you, anticipating this conversation, what?
George came in, and he had said, If it was the chicken product he was going after, it would have been the biggest red flag possible because it's supposed to be trash from what I've heard. Because I am also with you.
It?
I'm either a dog guy or a pizza guy. I'm actually dog 8 out of 10 times, maybe 9
out of 10.
And that is why when I found out he left the dog behind. I'm sorry?
Do you go dog rather than pizza for health reasons or for economy reasons? Because with the dog, you do get the drink and it's only $1.50. The pizza is a little more, and you don't get the drink.
It's the economic reasons, but also the dog is easier to walk around with in the store and snack
on. Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah, so that's usually why I go with the dog. But George said if it had been the chicken thing that he went after,
I should get it once.
They may need to release him because that would have just been
because
horrific
that would
decision
be it.
Making.
You got to Kirk Cousins him. It was interesting. I was reading a piece today about what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins, and the speculation was, you know, they can release him. No one's going to take on that contract in a trade. But the speculation was they could release him. And then, much like Russell Wilson, after he was released by Denver, signed with Pittsburgh for a minimum salary. So Pittsburgh's, you know, getting him for nothing and Denver's paying the freight. This particular piece speculated that Kirk Cousins could be released and then signed with Cleveland, where they're already, of course, paying another quarterback a lot of money. And so if you could get Kirk Cousins for a cheap deal, and Kevin Stefanski was in Minnesota when Cousins was in Minnesota, and that would make some sense. I actually think that would make some sense. What do you think?
I just feel, you know, I like Kirk Cousins. I think that he has been a pro but I think it's over. And I don't know if the Cleveland Browns could.
You realize he was AFC Player of the Week one year? Once this, not AFC, he was NFL Player, NFC, and he was the NFL Player of the Week.
Yeah, it started off really well.
Five touchdowns at that point. I think he's hurt.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of my point, is how much are you going to trust in Achilles that it's already showing signs of, you know, going downhill? Because he can't even get under center right now. I think that is where, when I was watching him play on Monday night, it was sad to watch him, because he has had this great career, and I understood why Atlanta gave him the money, because the possibility of Kirk Cousins with the weapons that they had was really appealing. But just over the games, he cannot maximize that team. And
but will year two after the Achilles be better than year one?
Maybe. But
Marino had an Achilles and actually was effective after that in his 30s. I mean, there's another quarterback, too, who man, escaping me, who's not Aaron Rodgers, who had an Achilles, who was, I don't know. In the end, maybe it wasn't so stupid for Atlanta to draft Michael Penix Jr. And I was honestly, you know what, I was just glad he shops at Costco. You know, I think that's nice that he shops at Costco.
That's great.
There's a man.
It's not Sam's.
Who is not too fancy. He's dedicated to value. And so good for him. And he does have someone else doing his shopping for him at Costco. He's
Absolutely.
Doing his shopping at Costco.
Absolutely. He's a Costco guy. He's a Costco guy.
Yeah.
Memphis football this season had 11 wins for the second time in program history. They're 2-0 against P4 schools, 5 straight bowl victories. Seth Hennigan broke many, many records, but there has been this great debate of how we should remember this football season. I've been asking all of my guests this. I had Gabe on in the open. We did a Gabe Kuhn baby retrospective. By the way, he is doing very well. Looks tired, but he's doing well. So I wanted to ask you this. How should we remember this season for Memphis football?
I really don't think it's that hard. Like, it's funny. I heard you talking about this yesterday. And what I push back on is people on either side of this argument exaggerate the other person's what they're saying, right? So I heard you yesterday say some people are making it out to be like it was this disaster, a debacle. And that was this, you were use a word like that of a season. And I don't think anyone is. I don't think anyone's saying it's a disaster, a debacle of a season. But then on the other side, like the John Martins of the world, who are more on the negative side of what the season has been, they're like, some people think this is just the greatest thing ever, that they went 11-2. And that's not what the people who think it was a good season necessarily say either. I think it's pretty clear. It was, taken by itself, a good to very good season that was still short of what they wanted to do. And so in that way, it was disappointing because it did not fulfill your highest and best dreams. And then the real problem is not the season itself, which is anyone who doesn't say it was a good season, I think is irrational. Not a great season, but a good season. The problem is that in the larger context, it is yet another season where they didn't go to the conference championship. But you know who else actually exaggerates what the other, quote unquote, the other side is saying? Ryan Silverfield himself. Like Ryan Silverfield, first of all, he doesn't have to, I apologize. He didn't have to apologize for anything. That's overly dramatic. But then he said the other night, he said, some people want me to go into the locker room and say you're a bunch of losers. Well, no one wants him to do that or thinks they are a bunch of losers. Whatever the side of this you're arguing, don't, if you have to dramatize and exaggerate what the other side is saying, you're not being honest with yourself. So if I were arguing with someone who was telling me, I don't know. To me, it's pretty clear. It was a good season, but in the larger context, given what was possible and given what has preceded it, it was disappointing. How can anyone even argue with that? I don't understand. That is what it is, right?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, that is exactly how I feel about it. It was because my bar for quote-unquote success for them was to make it to the championship game. It wasn't necessarily winning it. It was just an appearance in that game. So that's why I think this season should be remembered fondly, but ultimately they didn't reach the goal that they wanted. But that doesn't mean by any means that it was bad. 11 wins is 11 wins, and it should be appreciated. And I do think that there were some storylines within this season that were interesting, most notably Seth Hennigan and what his legacy is going to be at Memphis, breaking the records, his loyalty to Memphis. It's probably the last time we're going going to see a quarterback start all four seasons for an FBS school. I'm not sure when that's going to change, because unless NIL has some contract stuff and maybe 2 years, 3 years, whatever, that could change down the road. But it's just so rare to have the team that Memphis did this
incredible year.
What
the stuff's incredible. It's funny, though. We've had a lot of, like, where Memphis is also some version of where Ole Miss is and where Ohio State is. Right now, Ohio State's still playing, right? But Ole Miss, good season. Context matters, mm-hmm. right? So if you told me that Ole Miss had this season where they, you know, they beat Georgia, they have this, you know, they have three losses. That's look where they are compared to where Arkansas is or Mississippi State is or whatever else. Ole Miss had a good season. But I don't think people remember it, will celebrate it, because there's very mixed feelings about it, because it was supposed to be greater. Ohio State, you can't tell me that they didn't have a quote-unquote good season. And yet the larger context is lost to Michigan again, right? So I understand in all of these instances, Ohio State lost to Michigan, Ole Miss didn't get to the playoff, Memphis didn't get to the conference championship game. Like, all the things that were the thing that they had to check off. Right? Ole Miss had to get to the playoff. Ohio State had to beat Michigan. Memphis had to get a conference championship game. They didn't do that. So they're all three disappointed, even in the context of, if you step back and look at it, on paper, good season. All three, good season.
Yeah, and that's where it all comes down to expectations, and it's a hell of a thing. And that's why I did want to ask you, next season is going to be a bit of a retooling one for Memphis. You're not right. going to have some of these four-year guys. Elijah Herring's in the portal, but you've added, Jeff, I don't know if you saw this, a Harvard man. They've got a Harvard man playing center for them next season, which mm-hmm. brings me great comfort to have somebody with that type of IQ under center for Memphis. So what do you think the fair expectation for Memphis should be next season? Is it to make it to the championship game?
Well, here's the problem. The truth of the matter is, if he can retool with a new quarterback and do exactly what they did this year and not get to the championship game, you'd be like, that's pretty impressive. Like, because this year it's totally rebuilding everything mm-hmm. on the fly, right? If you can do that, it's showing he has another, you know, tool in the tool chest. Like, a lot of his success has been with Seth. Well, how's he going to be when there's no Seth? The problem is that when you haven't been to a conference championship game, every year you don't go becomes an indictment. So, like, even let's say that this year, let's say they actually had won the conference championship last year, right? We wouldn't be making such a big deal of it this year. It'd still be a blown opportunity because there's a playoff and whatever. But the problem is that he's never done it, right? So it may be much harder to do it next year. Yes, it'll still be until he gets to a conference championship game, people are going to say you've never been to a conference championship game. And here's the other thing. Even if he gets to a conference championship game, until he wins a conference championship, everyone's going to say you've never won a conference championship. And maybe that seems unfair, but A, both of his predecessors won conference championships in much tougher conferences. Conferences that had Cincinnati and Houston and UCF and SMU in the conferences, and that's what the money's for. You know, yes, the expectations maybe are unfair or ridiculous or whatever else, or unrelenting or whatnot, but he gets paid handsomely to do it. And so, yes, until he does not win a conference championship, until he wins a conference championship, it will be held against him that he has not won a conference championship. The end.
Final thing for you. Drew Hill just broke this news. Ja Morant is expected to play tonight, per Taylor Jenkins, against the Golden State Warriors. Do you think that we are going to see fireworks because of all the drama with Draymond Green and Zach Edey and Taylor Jenkins and Dennis Schroeder and Ja Morant and Taylor Jenkins? It feels like, you know, a good mixture for drama within the NBA.
I don't know if fireworks, but yes, I think you will see emotion tonight. Don't you? I think you will 100% see emotion tonight. I mean, we've seen Ja has come out and obviously in the stories, he's had just another game, whatever else. But given the history, you know, they're at home. They just lost to the Lakers. And, you know, Draymond, all of that. I would be surprised if there is not some real emotion in tonight's game. Whether it rises to the level of fireworks, I think I'd predict yes. If I had to go fireworks, not fireworks, yes. I think probably fireworks.
I love it. Yes. Quite honest with you, I'm rooting for it. I kind of want to see what Zach Edey does if Draymond steps at him.
Let's have fireworks. Let's see how soft Zach Edey is. Yeah, 100%.
I love
it. Go fireworks. I'm team fireworks.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking to you the last few weeks.
Good to talk to you, too. Thanks, Connor. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was Jeff Calkins. Yes, sir. Jeff Calkins, columnist at the Daily Memphian and host of the Jeff Calkins Show every morning from 9 to 11 a.m. You can find him on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. When we come back, we will jump into the Blitz. You're listening to Connor Dunning on 929 FM ESPN.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, stick around. Welcome back to the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn. Before we get into the Blitz, we have some Grizzlies updates for you. If you weren't listening to the last segment, Ja Morant is going to play tonight. It sounds like Marcus Smart is going to play tonight. And, George, very quickly, we have to discuss some of the comments that are coming out of the pregame presser from Taylor Jenkins. They keep asking him about the code and if he thinks it should have been reviewed, and he just keeps saying, I'm very happy that it is December 19th. These two teams... We talked about it last week and the week before. Healthy sports hate. And there is certainly sports hate between the Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizzlies.
I love it. And that's the thing. For all the comments, oh, Taylor Jenkins is soft, you know, all this stuff. That's the perfect response. It's, man, I'm just excited for the game tonight. It's going to be a good one to watch. Also, from Drew Hill, I think Smart is out with that shoulder.
Oh, Smart out.
He's day-to-day with that shoulder.
Smart was out. I misread that. That is on me. It also looks like the Golden State Warriors are going to start Dennis Schroeder. They're going to start him. They're not going to bring him off of the bench, which is a bit surprising. They might be staggering his minutes.
I was going to say, maybe
with that second unit, but
getting him involved a little early with new team. Probably, by probably, I mean definitely starting him at the two, I assume.
Interesting decision by Steve Kerr. Interesting decision. But I cannot wait for this basketball game. As always, you're going to have pregame right here on 929 FM ESPN at 6:30, and then Eric Hasseltine will be on the call at 7, so make sure you are tuned in for that, because I agree with Jeff Calkins. I think that we're going to get some sort of fireworks tonight between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. But every single day on the Gabe Kuhn Show, we got to do the Blitz, and we got to do it right now. And as always, the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. George, what you got for me?
Penny Hardaway, our friend of not just the show but the station, Penny Hardaway, has been nominated to the Basketball Hall of Fame as part of the 2025 class.
And he should be. Penny Hardaway, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer. When you hear players talk about him, they have a reverence for him. He is put in conversations with some of the all-time greats, even though he did not have the longest dominant career. He ended up having a pretty long career, but he wasn't in his prime, most notably because of injuries. But there are a lot of clips out there, specifically of guys like Shaquille O'Neal, talking about Penny Hardaway and how ready-made he was for the NBA. His rookie season took down a guy named Michael Jordan. Heard of him?
A couple times
you heard of him? He is one of the most talented players. He was the blueprint for the future of the NBA with guards in a lot of ways. A lot of people thought that he was going to be the second coming of somebody like Magic Johnson. And in his first few seasons, you saw that. And remember, I think what's very important to talk about is that it's not just NBA play. It's his entire basketball career that could get him into the Hall of Fame. And when you look at Penny's career, in my opinion, he deserves to be in there, because the Hall of Fame, I think, needs to tell the story of a league. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell the story of the NBA without Penny Hardaway, specifically because of that 94-95 Magic team, 95-96. They were one of the most exciting teams in basketball history, because you had young Shaq, you had Penny, you had them taking down Jordan and the Bulls in the year that he came back. Yes, was he wearing number 45? Sure, but it was still Michael Jordan. He still had the players out there. They had to retool their roster because they lost to that Orlando Magic team. And it's one of the biggest what-ifs in sports history. What would have happened If Nick Anderson hit those free throws, what would have happened if Nick Anderson hit those free throws? Would they have been able to win the NBA Finals? Maybe. They were just never able to recover from that. In my opinion, it's a bit of a homer opinion. I get it because I am a Memphian. I grew up loving Penny Hardaway. That Magic team is one of my favorite NBA teams of all time. I think that he should be in the Hall of Fame because of what he did, even if it was a short time. And you can't tell the story of the NBA without Penny Hardaway. I understand now he is the coach of Memphis, and that is how people view him now in a lot of ways. But do not forget about how unbelievable he was on the basketball court when he was in his prime. One of the best players in the NBA, even at his young age. I think he deserves to be in there. What say you, George?
100% agree. I mean, it really is also a tale as old as time, the amount of players that we've seen in and out of the NBA cutting into their primes, cutting into their truly productive seasons and years due to injury. It's a physical sport. It's a physical game, and it was especially physical in the 90s and early 2000s. You know, it's part of it. But at the same time, like you said, I think the biggest thing that Penny did as a player really was, other than also helping that young Orlando Magic team kind of grow up a little bit, he came in with a level of maturity from a young player that I don't think that they expected. And to do that while still being as productive, as energizing as a player as he was truly something incredible to see and to watch. No doubt, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, this is the second time on the ballot. Second nomination, I believe he was nominated last year as well. But I think he definitely deserves to be in there. And at this point, if his career as a coach can continue on its pace, he might end up in two halls.
All-NBA first team and went to the NBA Finals in his second season after taking down Michael Jordan. He was also All-NBA in his third and fourth before he was injured. All-NBA four straight seasons as a young guard in the NBA. And I think it's important. The shoe matters.
Oh, yeah.
They matter. Second most popular shoe in NBA history. That matters. Michael Jordan wore pennies. That matters. It matters to me, man. It matters to me.
The iconic commercials.
Little Penny.
Everything.
Penny Hardaway would have been one of the biggest stars in NBA history, and it's a shame what happened because of the injuries, but when you go back and you watch those highlights, very few have ever been better than Penny Hardaway at his best.
This one hurts for me to talk about a little bit, but I know we have to get into it. Reports continue to surface about the Jets' dysfunction under owner Woody Johnson. Connor, I have a question for you that has to do with this one. Is Madden a good way to evaluate real life NFL players?
NFL players, probably not. I have said, though, in the past, a bit tongue in cheek, but I kind of believe it. In a coaching interview, you should make them do a 2-minute drill on Madden. See what happens. See if they can buckle under pressure. Throw some different schemes at them and see how they decide to operate the offense. When it comes to evaluating actual players, no, because you have a bunch of dudes sitting in there making the ratings. And that is why, George, how have you survived as a Jets fan? I don't understand it. How are you still alive? Because every single time it seems like something well is going to happen for the Jets, it just ends in a dumpster fire, and it seemingly all ties back to Woody Johnson. Saying no to Jerry Jeudy because his two kids were like, oh, his Madden rating isn't high enough, is absolutely insane.
You know what? Funny enough, the most telling thing with this article that came out, with this, I don't want to say expose, but it was of sorts. We all know how bad of an owner Woody Johnson has been for the Jets. I mean, shoot, Bill Belichick had one day in the job before writing on a napkin, I resign as head coach of the New York Jets. And that's after Bill Parcells handpicked him to be the coach. The most telling thing to me, even though the years weren't great, the team wasn't great, the coach, GM, I fully understand and recognize that, with his brother Christopher Johnson as the owner or acting sitting chairman while Woody Johnson was working as the ambassador to the United Kingdom. But what was most telling was the difference in attitudes that actual employees of the Jets told The Athletic about. On one hand, you have Woody Johnson making snide remarks about management decisions, you know, being super involved. And on the other hand, and even coming across at times childish, Woody Johnson. On the other hand, they talk about Christopher Johnson saying, you never knew whether he was in the room or not. A lot of the times he was in the room, sitting back, being reserved, mature, listening, asking questions, but not making these grand declarations. Shoot, in the article, did you get a chance to read it?
I read most of it, yes.
Did you see what they said about Mike White? What happened with that situation?
Yeah, that's insane.
What are we doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing? That's insane.
Letting your kids bring their friends into the locker room and having them just disparaging players? Are you kidding me? The level of disrespect a man has for his own team is astounding.
And then today, news that is coming out is that they've interviewed Jim Nagy for their GM vacancy. How do you feel about that?
I think I like the other two options a little bit better. I don't dislike Jim by any means, mm-hmm. But I think I'd be a little bit happier if it was John Robinson. Partially for him specifically, it would be tied to one Mike Vrabel, who he was the general manager for in
Sounds
Tennessee.
Like that's gaining some steam, too.
I would like that, and I know that they, you know, in talking about who they're going to pick as a general manager and coach, they want some synergy there. I would like that. The one earlier in the week, Thomas Dimitroff, who most notably drafted Matt Ryan as a young general manager. I understand a lot of people are turned off by the 28-3. Technically, he built that roster, had that coaching staff there. I get it. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy who also won GM of the year at one point. Matt Ryan is an MVP. He also drafted Julio.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. And I understand they're also planning to, once he's done, you know, doing his broadcasting gig, they're going to interview Lewis Riddick as well, which I would like that. I think he's a very, very smart guy.
Do you think Vrabel would be a good hire for the Jets?
Yeah, it would be that. That's immediate credibility as a head coach. That's immediate level of kind of discipline and a different thing that the Jets haven't had in a long time. You know,
is there a guy that plays for the Jets right now that may or may not push back against a guy like Mike Vrabel?
Oh, absolutely, and it's a guy named Aaron Rodgers who's sitting there, the quarterback. I'd really like him to take a walk.
I don't know if he could do that.
Well, he can kind of do it. He can hobble.
He can do it with a limp.
He can hobble.
Yeah.
He can hobble his way out of Florham Park, as far as I can.
I will say, Aaron Rodgers' comments earlier this week were absolutely insane. Aaron, I'm going to remind you.
Which ones?
Every time you act like you're being silenced by the media or the mainstream media doesn't like you, you're on the Pat McAfee Show that's on ESPN. It's one of the biggest sports shows we have going right now, and you have a spot every single week. Stop acting like you just don't have a voice or you're being silenced or the media doesn't like you. You're on one of the biggest sports shows every single week spewing nonsense. Nonsense. The football team is doing worse this year with you than they did without you. Zach Wilson had more success with the Jets than you did. Maybe look in the mirror. Stop taking ayahuasca. Figure out how to play football again. Take some responsibility. Just an idea. Just an idea.
Just a thought. This is another interesting one. This came down a little bit earlier in the week, but you know, I wanted to get your take on this as well. The 2025 NBA All-Star Game has a new format. We're going to break it down real quick for you. There will be a mini tournament between three teams of All-Stars that will be drafted by the Inside the NBA hosts. The fourth team will be the NBA Rising Star team, or I think there's a smaller tournament between those as well. The champion Rising Star team, comprised of second-year players and rookies. Games will be 1st to 40. Does this solve the All-Star Game issues the NBA seems to have?
No. No, it does not. I don't think I like this. Kevin Durant certainly doesn't like it. John Morant certainly doesn't like it.
No.
It's becoming too convoluted. They need to simplify it, not make it. They're trying to build it out too much. Just simplify this damn thing. That's all you need to do. Parker Fleming tomorrow, he has something on Substack Elitist coming out that is about the All-Star Game and how to fix the All-Star Game. And I will tell you, I have read it, and I think it is a very good idea. We're going to talk to him about that tomorrow on the Gabe Kuhn Show. But this is nonsense. It's nonsense. Is it going to be fun for one season? Maybe. It's going to be interesting. I'll probably tune in to see it. But at the end of the day, all we want, all I want, skills competition, three-point contest, dunk contest, All-Star Game. That's all I want. You need to find a way to incentivize the players. But unfortunately, it's on the players. They have to come into the game and want to win it. They want to compete. In the past, we had that. And unfortunately, the guys in today's NBA just don't want to do that. Now, you've heard Jimmy Butler talk about it. It's because they're so damn busy during All-Star Weekend with all these events that they have to do, all this extra crap they have to do, that once they get to the game, they just kind of want to get through it. So is the solution eventually to get rid of the All-Star Game altogether? I hope not, but it does seem like we may head that way. you know, I applaud them for trying to find a way to get people interested in this game. But I don't understand why they don't just go to the players and say, listen, y'all, we need to make the All-Star game something people pay attention to and care about again. We need y'all to care about it again. What can we do to make that happen? Because it seems like they keep throwing these ideas out there that are just pushing the players further and further away. Kevin Durant straight up said, I do not like this new NBA All-Star format. I don't like it. And what's going to be interesting is that the Rising Stars team is probably going to be the one that plays the hardest.
Oh, yeah.
And they might win the thing because they're going to care the most. Because that 125K is going to matter to them more than it's going to matter to the rest of the All-Stars.
Absolutely. And to the point of the, you know, to the credit of the NBA, I think they kind of looked at what the NHL has done, which over the last couple of years they've been doing this tournament style where each division drafts a team from the All-Stars there. And they put together a tournament, but it was never, you know, this big, crazy thing. And I think that also comes down to a difference of the games. I mean, that tournament works, and because they're doing 3-on-3, there's only three skaters on the ice at a time. It's not nearly as physical because, I'm sorry, I know good and well the players, because they both play an 82-game season. We're talking about the same amount of games. One game is quite a bit more physical than the other. I don't blame those players for necessarily taking a little bit off. Taking their foot off the gas a little bit in an All-Star game. But that's the All-Star game has never been the big draw, really, for any of the sports. I'm sorry. MLB, Major League Baseball's All-Star weekend or All-Star break. What's the biggest thing you watch?
Home Run Derby.
Bingo. Do you watch the All-Star game? Maybe a little bit. I'll tune in because...
I used to.
Yeah, we all used to. But even now, I'll tune in for a little bit and say, oh, cool, there's the one of the best pitchers throwing an inning. Cool, that was fun. Click. All of them. They all. Do you ever watch the Pro Bowl?
No. I haven't watched. Dude, I can't even tell you last time I watched the Pro Bowl. I can't even tell you when the Pro Bowl is.
Meaning, I can't tell you where it is, let alone when it is.
You know, speaking of the MLB All-Star Game, I know that some people didn't like it. The home field advantage thing was fascinating. I thought it was great. Now I'm also a fan.
Value.
Now I'm also a fan of the Red Sox. So it always and the AL absolutely whooped the NL for literally a decade.
Yeah.
So it helped the Red Sox in the World Series a few different times, so I was a fan of it. But I don't know, maybe that adds some competitiveness to it.
To be fair as well, it's a little different because, and I forgot exactly, I think it might have been Jeffrey saying this yesterday, the actual act of baseball cannot change in terms of intensity. Pitcher pitches, hitter tries to
hit. That's very fair. That's a great point.
That's not going to change. You can't change that. Like a pitcher right. Can't all of a sudden try and, you know, take a couple degrees off because that could mess up their mechanics.
I've said it before. One of the things that you could do in the NBA All-Star game to add some intrigue is have it be like the Royal Rumble. Every like 5 minutes, you release a lunatic like Dylan Brooks onto the court and see what happens.
Now that would be interesting.
The guys that had the best defensive stats this year that didn't make the All-Star game, send him in. Vince Williams Jr. Coming out of the rafters.
Read my mind.
Good luck.
Like Super Grizz.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Super Grizz coming down. Yeah. Yeah. Jalen Suggs, if he doesn't make the All-Star, send him
throw
in.
Throw him out there.
See how you do with him.
Just throw all the demons on one team and just see what happens.
Exactly.
No
perimeter
scoring.
That is what I want to see. That is what I want to see. And that's how you fix the All-Star game. Real quick before we go to break, Marc Gasol is also a nominee for the Hall of Fame. He is a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Bona fide Hall of Famer. No doubt about it. International career, NBA career, NBA champion, Defensive Player of the Year. Marc Gasol should be in the Hall of Fame.
Should be a lock.
When we come back, we got to wrap up the show. You're listening to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 929 FM, ESPN. All right, it's Thursday. Y'all know the drill. Come hang out with me at Hampline Quizmas. Kevin Cerrito Quizmas tonight at Hampline. Great drinks. We got pizza. Fun time. Make sure you come out. I would love to see you there. But that's going to be it for the Gabe Kuhn Show today. I want to thank my guests, Gabe Kuhn and Jeff Calkins. We will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm going to have Parker Fleming on tomorrow, David Cobb on tomorrow, Lee Sterling on tomorrow to give you some bowl game picks. So make sure you're tuned in for that. For the Honorable King George, I'm Connor. Peace.